our pastor just read from that blessed epistle that was written to the church at Rome. That first verse, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 3 says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The gospel is concerning the glory of God in Christ. That's what the gospel is concerned. Anything that is preached that is not concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption of His people is not the gospel. It may be good advice. It may be moral. It may be, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is concerning Christ. And when you hear that which is not concerning Christ, no matter how religious it sounds, if it's not concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the gospel. And therefore, not the power of God unto salvation. The Spirit of God blesses the gospel. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the gospel of Christ. Turn with me to Romans 16:1. I'd like to look at two verses, first two verses. And it's the beginning of this last chapter to the church at Rome. And it's about a woman named Phoebe. That's what the first two verses are penned here is talking about. Now, I know this. The gospel is here. Therefore, I pray that we see the gospel in these first two verses. I've said before, now, if it's just a history lesson, well, I mean, we can talk about a lot of history lessons. But if it's not concerning the glory of God in Christ, then it's not the gospel. And I'm wasting your time, my time, and God's not being honored. And I don't have time for that. The gospel. This woman was recognized by Paul, obviously, to be one worth noting. Five things that I see about this woman, Phoebe, that Paul said about her. First of all, he said in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe. I commend. It means I stand with her. I stand with her. Secondly, he said, our sister. Obviously, Paul had every reason to believe that God had imparted through the power of His Holy Spirit life to this woman. He said, I stand with this woman. She's a sister. Thirdly, she had been called to a holy calling. He said concerning her in verse 1, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. She was a servant. That is, the word is actually deaconess. It's a woman that is set apart to attend the needs of other women, especially. Whether or not she had been officially put into that office, I don't know about all that. But I know this. She
She did it.
She was, Paul said, she is a servant of the church. You know, whenever God calls anyone out, men, women, in the capacity within the bounds of Scripture, Holy Scripture, God doesn't raise up women to stand in pulpits and preach. Anytime a woman stands up, she's a pastor. I see these church signs. Pastor, you know, this man's name and his wife's name. Co-pastors. God didn't call her. God does not call women to pastor churches. Now, how do you know that? Scripture says that. So that ends that. She was a servant of the church. I know Paul says to Titus in chapter 2, verse 3, 5, the aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that is, wise, to love their husbands, to love their children. This is a way that you love your children, by instruction, by example, and by discipline. Said before, somebody that tells me I love my children too much to discipline them, to spank them. The Scripture says you don't love them. You don't love them. You love your children. They're out of hand. There's the door. Take them out. Teach them. Teach them. These women are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. She was a servant. Fourthly, in verse 2, this woman could be trusted. It says that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. Some may slip in unawares. But this woman had proven herself to be devoted, a devoted woman to Christ. God had received her in the Lord. Yes, becometh saints. And fifthly, she was a faithful steward. That you assist her, Paul said, in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer, a help, a comfort of many, and he said, myself also. This woman, obviously, she wasn't just a knot on the log, just somebody sitting around. Paul had some encouraging things to say about this woman. May have been a woman of means. I don't know. But I know this. Paul said, whatever she needs, you do whatever you can to help her. Because this woman has been proven to be an object of God's mercy, and I'm commending her to you. Now, knowing, as I said a little while ago, that every word of Scripture is by the breath of God. The Scripture says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were born up by the Holy Ghost. Knowing that every word from the Spirit of God is going to speak of Christ. I know that. When the Comforter is come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. This is how you know. You know, the Scripture says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. He's talking about preachers. Find out, listen to what a man says. Listen to what he says. If you don't hear the glory of God in Christ, I'll say that over and over and over. If you don't hear. You know, it's a lot of times it's not what somebody says that gives them away. Ben, it's what they don't say. When you don't hear something, I mean, that I'm telling you. I guarantee you that most things will be said in pulpits this morning. Probably Gary will be morally so. I don't doubt that a bit. But it's what they don't say. When you don't hear the glory of God in Christ, you're missing something. You're missing Him is what you're doing. He shall testify of me, knowing that it's the gospel that we preach, not history lessons. This woman's name was Phoebe. She was an honorable woman, a servant. She assisted others and helped her. But I'll tell you this, if this is no more than a history lesson about a good woman, a commendable woman, if that's all that is, then we don't have anything. If that's all it is. But knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. That is profitable for doctrine. That is to teach the will of God and to point out Christ. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, to point to Christ. For reproof, that means it's the evidence. It proves it. For correction, that is for correcting all these false notions and mistaken views. And say, well, I think this. What does God say? It just ends it right here. Well, I feel as though, well, what the Lord said. For instruction in righteousness, that is to chasten with words. So here's my question this morning. Here's two verses about a woman named Phoebe. How do I see Christ in this passage? That's what I'm looking for. I want to hear of Christ. Well, knowing, and this is the difference between, someone asked Spurgeon one time, can you find Christ in every passage of Scripture? Spurgeon said, I'll tell you this, He's there. I'm looking for Him. He said, I may have to appear to the world that I'm jumping a ditch to get to Him, but He said, I'm telling you, He's there. The glory of God in Christ is right here. Here's a woman that God's done something for. Now, I can say that two ways. Here's a woman that God's done something for. Or I could say this. Here's a woman that God did something for. And the emphasis is on two different things. I want to talk about the woman that is the most well-spoken of woman by Almighty God, the church. But I don't want to preach about the church and exalt the church. I want to exalt Him who has everlastingly loved and show you what God Almighty has done for His people through the example. Just like when we looked at months ago in the book of Acts, a woman named Tabitha. And in that we saw the gospel. Show me the gospel. Tell me of Him who loved this woman, a picture of all that are found in Him. Tell me about Him. Tell me about He who loves His bride. Because if I'm found within His bride, tell me about Him that loves me. I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about Him who loves me. Song of Solomon 2:4. It says, He brought me to the banqueting house and His banner over me is love. I want to talk about Him who is the banner. I know that I am the recipient of His grace and mercy. But I'm going to tell you something. Without Him, there is no mercy and grace. The church, the bride, she's truly a virtuous woman. A woman of strength, made so by wisdom, grace, fear of God, but it's His righteousness that's made her what she is. Well, I'm telling you, people start trying to focus on the church. And I'm going to tell you something. This church is the bride of Christ, and He's loved her. He's always loved her. He's always been married to her. How long has Christ been married to His bride? The Scripture says, He who is thy maker is your husband. Brother Scott told us one time, is He the husband now? You say, yeah. Well, when was He not the husband? And then at that point, then you insinuate that God changed. You insinuate that there was a change in His position or a change in His character. And as our pastor said wisely, at the point that you make God to change, therein you err. Not God, you err. How long has He loved her, the bride? He's always loved her. But here's the issue. How long has He loved her? The focus. Just as the Apostle Paul spoke of Phoebe. And as I said, this woman is a picture. You want to have a good example? This woman is a good example of everyone in this congregation this morning that knows anything about the grace of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful. I commend unto you Phoebe. I stand with her. That's what Paul said. I stand with her. Listen to the words of our Lord through the writer of the Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. As I quoted that scripture a week or so ago when Paul was in that Roman jail, and he said, and the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood by me. You that believe this morning, I commend unto you Phoebe. You that believe, put your name there. I commend unto you Mitch. I stand with you. I commend unto you. I commend unto you. I commend, Paul said, I stand with her. But what a beautiful picture of the Lord who stands with His people. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. I love this. God's never been an enemy to those that His everlasting love. God's never been those that He's loved in Christ. He's never been their enemy. But you that were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy. I looked up present. To present. You know what it means? To stand beside. Oh, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight in that great day when we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Paul said. We'll all stand before. And the books will be opened. And the books of all of man's rebellion and all of his self-righteousnesses and all of his, and everyone outside of Christ will be judged, the Scripture says, out of the books. But there's a book. And in that book of the blessed Lamb of God, written from before the foundation of the world, whose names were recorded in the mercy and grace of God Almighty, that book will be open. And everyone found written in that book You know what the Lord says? I stand with you. Oh, to think in that day, when I began to think just a moment of standing before God Almighty, and whenever my mind begins to, I began to think, the moment I get my sight on me, Charlie, I began to get a little, you know. But then to stop and to realize and to think, Lord, I know you love me. I know you do. How do I know? Because I love him. We love him because he first loved us. How do I know that God's done something for me? I love his appearing. I believe that Almighty God has given me a heart to realize that I can of myself do nothing. Boy, I tell you, I see through that glass darkly. But I see enough to know this, that he will stand with me who has everlastingly loved me. Now there's some peace right there, some comfort that will settle my heart. He'll stand with me. Secondly, Paul said of this woman, he said, she's a sister. She's a sister. One that we love for Christ's sake. Oh, but you consider the relationship to Christ as his bride and hear the words of love to her. Song of Solomon 4:9. Thou hast ravished, I love this scripture, I brought this up before. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. You've stolen my heart. I think. Lord, if you didn't say that, I would think to myself, there's no way in the world that could be so. There's no way that it could be that I actually would unheart. That's what it means. You have unhearted me. You've stolen my heart. He said, I look upon you. How does he look upon me? He looks upon me as he's made me. Holy, without blame, spotless. The apostle said to this woman, she said, she's our sister. Boy, what an epitaph. You think about it. I mean, here he could preach a message on this. Being called a sister, being called a brother. Think what it took to be able to call. Gary, what did it take for me to call you my brother? God had to do for you what he did for me. He had to. It would just never end, thinking of the mercy and grace of God. What did it take for someone to have the relationship with another believer as being a brother or sister? God Almighty had to do something for him. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Thirdly, a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. A servant. Made so in time. Almighty God appointed, ordained, predestinated the bride of Christ unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself before the foundation of the world. Brother Scott read that a while ago. I looked at those words. Paul, a servant, a bondslave, a willing servant, a servant in mercy. A servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Loved with an everlasting love, because he's always viewed us in him. Taught us of himself. This woman's a servant. And then Paul said, fourth thing he said about this woman is a picture of the Lord's beloved. She can be trusted. Receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. This woman, I want you to notice something. After the 27th verse of this chapter, just look at the end. In my Bible, I'm sure it's written to you, it says concerning this letter, it was written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Now, that's just a little note that was put in there. It's just this was a letter. This is an epistle. This was a letter that was dictated by, it was penned, most of this was penned by another man in verse 22, Tertius, who wrote this epistle. But Paul dictated this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They took this letter, Freddie, and he gave it to that woman, Phoebe. Gave it to a woman. And he gave her the responsibility to take this epistle. Now you think, you look back now and realize as time, look at the responsibility that this woman had to take this epistle to the church at Rome. And here we are now, today in 2009, reading this letter. This woman held in her hand, it had been given to her. It wasn't her words. She didn't have anything. She wasn't a source of it. She was the means by which God Himself delivered this epistle to the church at Rome. She was the means by which. That's all she was. Now you think about the bride of Christ. Concerning the bride, as she's spoken of in Proverbs 31:11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, that he shall have no need of spoil. Think of the glory and the power, the grace of Almighty God that has entrusted to the bride the delivery of this word to His people. This was an epistle written to the people of God. And I'm telling you, Almighty God has entrusted the gospel. Paul said, this is my gospel, but it's His, being given to him by the Spirit of God and taught him in his personal relation. But he wasn't the source of it. She wasn't the source of this. We're not the source of the gospel. This is ours by grace, by mercy. This woman was trusted. Gave her this letter. You think of the faithfulness of the bride of Christ. But let me ask you this. Why has she been faithful? You see, here's all the difference. We can talk about how faithful we are and how faithful they are and how faithful. But I'm telling you, the bride of Christ has been faithful because she's been kept by the power of God through faith. Of herself, there's nothing in her that would absolutely do anything. She is actually, and no more than in herself, the means by which here is the bride, the church, established in this little place right here on the side of the road, Katy, West Virginia. Over 50 years that God has been faithful to continue the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through His bride. And you know what the bride right here will say of herself? We are but unprofitable servants. That's all we are. What does that mean? That means we hadn't added anything to the glory of God by being here 50-something years. We've been here by the grace of God. This woman was a woman that could be trusted. The Scripture says concerning the bride, her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Because He kept her. He made her what she are, what she is. The Lord keeps His bride, trusts her with the gospel because it's Himself working in her. It is God which worketh in you to will, both to will and do of His good pleasure. Paul said, 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I can't keep it. How can I keep it? If He keeps me not, I'm not kept. If He turns me, I'm turned. Paul had committed the keeping of his soul to God Almighty. And he knew that the only hope he possessed for eternal life was God's power to do what God said He would do. I thought about what Brother Scott said the other day. He said, if I come to a point where I cannot even remember my own name, I find myself right now thinking, I want to call upon the Lord and talk like last week when we talked about praying. Say back those things that God has said concerning Himself. For me to say, Lord, You said You'd have mercy and compassion. Would You have mercy and compassion? But what if I come to a point to where I can't even remember my own name? In that day, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep. Because I may come to a point in my life, and you may be too, when you don't even remember a thing. But He who has everlastingly looked upon you in mercy never forgets. Fifthly, Paul said concerning this woman to be a faithful steward. The bride is seen in Christ to be the same before God. He has entrusted her. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, if you want to read it, there's a few verses. It talks about stewards that the Lord gave. It was a parable, and He gave some talents. Some of them, one of them got five, and one of them got two, and one of them got one, and one had five, he industrious, five more. The other one, more. One of them said, I know you're a hard man, and I just went and buried it. He took that one. He said, I'm going to take what I gave you and give it to the others that have. And he took that one and cast him out. What concerning faithfulness, stewards, the only faithfulness that Almighty God's people have is that faithfulness in which they have no merit to boast in. Faithfulness. They have no merit to. What have I done? Isaiah 26:12 says, Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for Thou also hast wrought all our works in us. But the word in is actually interpreted for. Thou hast wrought all of our works for us. I was talking to Gabe the other day, and we were talking about good works. Good works. I told him, I said, Gabe, whenever you want to talk about good works, I said, let me recommend to you. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 and 4. And I'm telling you, if you want to talk about good works, here they are. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4. Let's read verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3, 4. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you all in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. And here it is. Here it is. You want to talk about some works. Good works. Remember, there's none good but God. So when we talk about good works, and there's none good but God, then it's God's works. It's God that worketh in you. Here it is, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Whenever you want to start talking about good works, here it is. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, waiting on God. I read an illustration the other day about works. And it was talking about a cat and a sow. I know a little bit about both of them. I've had them around the house back when I was in Louisiana. My dad loved hogs, so we had them. Whatever Dad liked, I guess that's what he's going to get. You know, a cat would sit around and he just clean himself. Just cleaned himself. He'd sit around in the house. But buddy, I'm going to tell you something. We had some hogs. And I tell you what they like. They like one thing. They like mud. And they wallowed in it. They loved it. And I'm telling you, you know this. You could have hosed them off and scrubbed them down and put all kinds of bows and ribbon and turn it loose. And you know where it's going? It's going right back to the slop. Do you know that the only way that you could ever make a hog act like a cat, you're going to have to make him a cat, because he's not going to act like a cat. God's people, because of a new nature, by a work of faith, believe in God, and a labor of love, that which they do, they do. They do. They're not looking. They're not looking for recognition. They're not looking. They just act like a believer. They just act like. They're not trying to maintain a righteousness. They act like a believer because they've got a nature that acts in obedience toward Him. They don't want to lie to you. They don't want to cheat you. They don't want to backbite you. They want to help you. They see those in need. They act like a believer. They just labor of love, and work of faith, patience of hope. This woman, Paul said, I commend her to you. I stand with her. She's a sister. She's a servant. Receive her in the Lord. A sister in whatever business she has, she's been a succor, she's been a help, many and myself also. This was a good woman. But I'll tell you this concerning the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him. He made her. Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find one strong in the Lord? Who can find her? God did. He chose her before the foundation of the world. Chose her in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ ever stood for. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. What's she worth? I'll tell you what she's worth. According to Him, He loved her and He gave Himself for her. In closing, I want you to turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I read a couple of these verses a while ago, but I'm going to read the... God Almighty found in eternal electing grace. Not in herself, because I'm going to tell you something. She was dug out of the same pit. So if any glory is going to be given, let all the glory be given to God, because He made her what? He had the right to take one vessel and make it unto honor, and He had the right to make another unto dishonor. He had the right to do so. He made her what she is. Virtuous by her association only with Him. See, I'm going to tell you something. It's a precious thing to find a sinner. And that's what God's people realize they are by nature. They're sinners. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Every member of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what she's brought to see. I'm a sinner. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. And he wasn't trying to be anything other than honest. The bride of Christ, if any glory is going to be given her, let all glory be given her by the Master who looked at her and loved her and gave Himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is the husband of the bride. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Think of Christ and His love to His bride. But no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of His body, of His flesh, His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. He'll stand with her. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This woman was a woman named Phoebe. Boy, Paul had a lot of good things to say about her. And I'll tell you this, when you look at her as a picture of the object of God's mercy in redeeming grace, and you see that all of these things that this woman was commended on, there was nothing about it that she had to boast in. She was what she was by the grace of God. And you that believe, you are too. Oh, in that day, to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak with honor concerning me, as this woman was but a picture, a type, an example of God's mercy and grace. In that, knowing that He would speak well of me, I can say this, I've got some hope. Amen.